Okay. All right, let's start. So last time we ended with the sources that we're going to start with right now. We've been talking about Torah Sheba'al Peh and Torah Shebechtav. We've been talking about how it worked at Har Sinai. And the question that we're given right now is, what was given at Har Sinai? And we have some famous sources that have always troubled us, I assume. They troubled me. I assume they troubled you as well. The first type of source is the Gemara and Brachot and the Talmud Yerushalmi that says that everything was given at Sinai. When I say everything, I mean everything including this right now. Okay, so you have one Gemara and Brachot that says that Torah, Mikra, Talmud, Mishnah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, everything was given at Sinai. And then the Yerushalmi goes to the next level and said everything was given at Sinai, even what a Talmud atid lohorot lifnei rabo, or lishol lifnei rabo, things that the Talmud was going to ask in a shir, you know, thousands of years in advance, even that was given at Sinai. And what does that mean? How could that have been given at Sinai? Okay, so we talked about that. But let's say we accepted that. How do we explain the Gemara in Menachot? It tells a story about how Moshe Rabbeinu went forward in time to sit in the shir with Rabbi Akiva and was mystified by what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. He was saying, we learn this from here and this from here, and he couldn't understand anything was going on, so much so that he became depressed, he became upset. And then all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva said, oh, this is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And all of a sudden Moshe was placated and he felt fine about it.
Are we taking this Gemara literally?
We're trying to take it in whatever way it means. I don't know whether Moshe Rabbeinu actually flew forward in time, whether it had happened, or whether the Gemara is trying to give off a message. I have no idea. But I'm sure that the Gemara is trying to teach us a message, because whether it happened or not, the Gemara is telling you a story for a reason. So what is the meaning of the story? And Dad, I think what you're asking when you say, do we take this literally, should we ask questions on the story? Like if it happened or it didn't, if it happened, we can ask questions. If it didn't happen, then why are we asking questions? But I think either way, we need to ask questions. Whenever you tell a story, you need to understand the plot. You understand what's going on. And the question over here is, how could Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, not know what Rabbi Akiva was talking about? And then all of a sudden, when Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu is satisfied. We suggested some answers last time. We're going to see those inside right now. The Medrash Tanchuma says separately, not in regards to this Gemara, but it says, V'chikol HaTorah L'man Moshe? Did Moshe really learn the whole Torah? V'la'oktiv, in Iyov, it says, Arucha Me'eretz Midah. So the Medrash Tanchuma has a different problem than the one that we're bothered by. The Medrash Tanchuma says, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu learned all of the Torah? After all, it is so vast. So the Medrash isn't bothered by, you know, chronological issues or detailed issues of how could Moshe Rabbeinu know about us learning, pshat in of the Or HaChaim or of the Ksota Choshen in Choshen Mishpat. It's not bothered by that. It's bothered by simply, how could Moshe Rabbeinu have learned so much? How is it possible? It's Arucha Me'eretz Midah. So the Gemara and the Medrash answers, Ella. Klalim, klalim, lambda. Rather, pet. Is that what that is?
That was a rabbit.
Oh, okay, fine. Ella klalim, klalim, lambda. It's he learned general rules, and from those general rules, he learned everything. Klalim, klalim, lambda. Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Shneamar Kichaloto. Learns a play on words from Kichaloto. That's what happens at the end of Har Sinai. So he learns from there that Moshe Rabbeinu really learned the general rules. So from there, we can kind of, you know, get a handle on what might be going on and say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't learn all the details, but he learned enough general rules that you could have gleaned the details. And someone who makes this much clearer is the Maritz Chiyot. Maritz Chiyot was a great Gaon from Prague. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he preceded the Maharal Prague, although I'm not absolutely certain. He wrote on a lot of these kinds of issues, really. He wrote on a lot of... academic Talmud before it was academic Talmud, kind of like issues that bother us when we learn the Gemara, concepts that are kind of confusing. So he dealt with those issues. So he says, Melamed shekulam nidnu b'har Sinai. This is his commentary on the Gemara in Brachot. And he says, Ayin Yerushalmi, it makes it even worse, like we saw. Melamed sheher HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Masha Talmud Vatik Atid L'Chadesh. How could he do this? So he says, Hainu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masa L'Moshe Midot So the Maritz Chiyot, we should be reminded already from some of the things that we learned. The Maritz Chiyot says that what did Moshe get at Har Sinai? He got the Klalim, which includes the the midot hanidrashot, the 13 midot hanidrashot, for example, Rabbi Shmuel, the 34 according to Rabbi Kiva, I believe, all different kinds of rules. And since he was given those rules, he would have been theoretically able to derive from those rules anything that we would come up with today. So that's what was given to him at Har Sinai. And Chazal's poetic way of understanding that was that he was given everything. Everything that would ever be said gleaned from what Moshe was given at Sinai.
All the tools. He was given all the tools, but not necessarily all the details.
Exactly. So, you know, if you were to say in math and mathematics, right, you know, based on the you know, the primal rules of mathematics, you can come up with all of mathematics, all of complicated advanced calculus. Nobody's invented anything. They've just discovered it, right, based on things that already existed. But of course, this should remind us of what we were talking about earlier, the machloket between the Rambam and the Chabad Dat, maybe the discussion between the Shlah and Rav Hirsch, right? Did Moshe Rabbeinu learn all of the details, or did he just learn the general rules? For example, the Rav Hirsch appeared to be saying that he learned everything, that everything was learned, and then the Torah is just a condensed version of the entirety of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned. Whereas the Maariv Chiyot seems to be saying, no, he learned only the detail. He learned only the general rules, and he wasn't privy to all the details. So how is the Maariv Chiyot going to read the Gemara that says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to see Rabbi Akiva? He's going to say he didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was talking about, but once Rabbi Akiva said, Salach Alam Hashem Sinai, he was satisfied because he said, oh, I see, he's just extending the things that I learned. That's how he has to read that. Obviously, the downside is that at the end, the way we're reading this is that Moshe really didn't understand and didn't have the conclusions that Rabbi Akiva might have had. If you read the story this way, Moshe really was learning things in that shir. He didn't know them. Same way that, you know, a mathematician, he may learn a rule and he may say, oh, I understand, but I didn't know that before. Right? That's what would come out.
This is the question on Moshe. What does it matter to us?
It matters in terms of how we understand the development of Torah Sheval Peh. We'll see that not everybody agrees with this, and so that's why it will matter. For example, and this is what we're going to get to later, when we learn Torah, what are we doing? Are we revealing or discovering the things that we're already, you know, understood? Exactly. You learn a Rashi on the Gemara, and Rashi has a Chiddush. Well, he doesn't have so many Chiddush, but right, you learn a Ritva on the Gemara. Right?
Are you learning the derivative, or are you learning the
exactly? What's the Ritva doing for me? Is he making up something new based on the Klalim, or you learn the Gemara? You learn the Gemara. Is the Gemara coming up with something new that wasn't known before, or is it revealing, as we're about to see in the Or HaChaim? Okay, we're going to see a really seminal Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and I was zochet to see this year for the first time. And then I saw it quoted afterwards, and I was like, this is great. I actually noticed this the first time around. It's nice when you notice things the first time around, and then somebody else points it out again. This is a really core Or HaChaim who I think takes issue with what the Maariv Chiyot says. So it comes in a place that you wouldn't expect. All right? So we'll just kind of quickly mention where he's getting it from. This is from Parshat Metzora. Okay? And it comes on the pasuk Tahor, who? V'tiaro Kohen. The Kohen has the right to declare a nega tzarat as tzarat, right? So here's my question to you guys. Jake shows up on the scene. He's been called to diagnose a nega, right? And Jake looks at the nega and he says, tzarati, okay? Tame. Then Rav Chaim Kanievsky shows up. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he's not a Kohen, but he is a bucky in Sarat. He knows. And he turns to Jake and he says, Jake, I know what you were thinking. Okay? I know why you think this is Sarat, but you may not have been aware of, you know, such and such a Gemara, you know, in, Mishnah, in the Gaim, that says that this particular case, while it looks like it's Sarat, it's not really. So now I ask you, is it Sarat or is it not at this point? He's already declared.
If Jake says so, yes.
So is it Sarat or no? What do you say, Simon?
If Jake says so, yes.
Oh, so you say, once Jake said, Once Jake said that it's tzaraat, even though I want to be clear, Rav Chaim Kanevsky is correct, right? He read the Mishnah Nagayim, Jake didn't. But you want to say, Simon, that once Jake declares it as tzaraat, it's tzaraat. What do you say?
And Rav Chaim Kanevsky is not a Kohen.
Fine, he's not a Kohen. Yo, what do you say?
The Pasuk says, V'tiharo HaKohen. The Kohen is the one who judges.
Kohen, he declares it tzaraat, it's tzaraat. Dad, what do you want to say?
The Pasuk seems to say that the Kohen is the ultimate judge on this.
Okay, so the Aruch Chaim says as follows. Quotes the Midrash. Torat Kohanim, Amu Tahor, Yachol Yiftor V'yelechlo, Tamud Lomar V'tiharo. Yacholim Amar Kohen El Tamei Tahor, Hiya Tahor, Tamud Lomar Tahor V'tiharo. Guys, I'm sorry. You're all wrong. You're all mistaken. And Jake is mistaken. Even if a Kohen declares something as being Tamei or Tahor, if it turns out that he was wrong, then he's wrong. And it undoes it. It's true, Simon, you're right. Only a Kohen can declare something Tamer Tahor. It's true. But he has to also be right. And this Pasuk proves it. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Tahor hu v'tiharo Kohen. What's the Tahor hu part? It means it has to be Tahor and the Kohen has to be Metaheret.
You didn't just say any old Kohen. You said Jake.
Okay. Mashma shaloya yachol hachricha me'apasuk. Okay, so hold on. So this is Valdavar ze alal hillel alav shalom. Now all of that was only to get to these words. Valdavar ze alal hillel alav shalom. The Yerushalmi says Hillel came to Eretz Israel and told everybody this is the meaning of this pasuk, because for this he came up from Babel, and he told them this is the meaning of this pasuk. Okay. Now, the Aruch Chaim jumps in and he says, Mashma, the implication, is that Shelo haya yachol hachricha mehapasuk ad sha'ala la'eretz Yisrael v'kibel shekein hu halacha kamo darashu. Hillel had to come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and say, this is my masora about what this pasuk means. And the Aruch Chaim says, v'tzarech ledat, b'me hayu cholkim alav u'miyashim naktuvim. Why would they disagree with him? After all, you know what? I know that you guys all thought that Jake was going to be right, but now that I've explained to you the pasuk, right? It seems pretty clear from the pasuk that that's what that means. Tahorhu v'tiharo kohen. It's a very reasonable explanation of the pasuk. It has to both be tahor and the kohen has to be metaheret. Does anybody disagree with this explanation of the pasuk? Anybody quibble with it?
Does it necessarily have to mean the converse is also correct? You say tahor v'tiharo about Tamei v'tamehu. Do we assume that the converse is also correct?
I don't see any reason to say that the converse is all correct is not correct, but that's not even the point. The point is that even if Jake would have declared it tahor, if it was not actually tahor, it wouldn't be tahor. That's the point over here. Now, the Aruch Chaim wants to know, why does Hillel have to come from Bavel and declare to everybody in Eretz Yisrael, this is my masoret about the pasuk, in order to convince them that that's the halacha? So the Aruch Chaim says, "Venira."
Why can he just send an email?
Yeah, or just said, "This is how I understand the pasuk.
And that, that you know,
this is what it means. This is what it means." Thank you, Dave. So he says, "Venira, ki tahor v'tiaro tzrichan ladun shelo yiftor v'yedech lo ela ad she'omer lo akoin taruata shezula tahor hayiti omer ki letzad she'ni yodeh yavokon." Okay, he gives an explanation, and he says, "Vein hechrech ledrasha telel ad she'ala la'aretz Yisrael v'yada shekein b'halacha." We find the important part here. V'ze klal nachon b'perish haTorah. V'ra'iti liyashiv ma'amari v'zal shelo haya davar shelo nimsar l'Moshe b'Sinai. He says, this is what it means when it says that there was nothing that Moshe did not get at Sinai. V'afilu ma'ashe talmid v'atik atid l'chadesh. And then he tells us the story of Rabbi Akiva. Don't worry, we're getting to the point. He tells us the story of Rabbi Akiva and his class and how Moshe didn't know what was going on. And he wonders, how could it be? And he says, "Hein emet shekol dvar Torah." I'm three lines up from the bottom of the page. Kol dvar Torah ne'emar le'Moshe ve'ein chacham yachol adat yoter mima she'yada Moshe. Aruch Chaim says, everything was given to Moshe and no chacham can know more than Moshe. Nobody will ever know more halacha than Moshe Rabbeinu. So now we should be, what should be grinding in our head is what about Rabbi Akiva, right? So what's going on? V'agam shetetzaref kol dor et Yisrael miyom matan Torah ad shetemalei haaretz de'ah. Ein chiddush shelo yada Moshe. Sorry, Moshe knew everything we were going to say right now. He knows all of it. Aval ha'hefreshu ki Moshe natan lo Hashem Torah shebichtav v'Torah shebal peh. V'nei Adon Baruch Hu b'chokhmato yitbarach rasham b'Torah shebichtav kol ha'Torah shebal peh she'amar l'Moshe. Not only did he give everything to Moshe, he wrote in the Torah shebichtav everything that he said to Moshe. Aval lo hodia l'Moshe kol ma shenatan lo b'al peh. Heichan hu ramuz b'Torah shebichtav. This is the key. He didn't tell Moshe one element. He didn't tell Moshe, you know, all that vast information I told you about? It's all hinted at in the Torah, but I'm not going to tell you where.
Isn't that dissimilar from Rav Hirsch?
I think it's exactly Rav Hirsch.
Oh, okay.
It's exactly Rav Hirsch.
I won't commit to Rav Hirsch.
V'zohi avodat b'nei Yisrael amelei Torah. But it's even more. What is our job as we learn Torah? Of course, it's to learn Torah and understand the halachot and know what they are. But it's also to go one step further. The step further that we can go, even further than Moshe. Okay? The frontier. There's a frontier that Moshe never revealed, which is? That's okay. What's the frontier that Moshe Rabbeinu did not discover? Where is it all in the Torah Shebichtav? Exactly. Where is it all hinted at? Moshe knew everything. Moshe knew all of Shulchan Aruch, all of Mishnah Berurah, all of the Shach, all of the Taz. He knew every little halacha. However, what he didn't know was where it's hinted at in the Torah Shebichtav.
Does Rav Hirsch say that Moshe knew everything?
I don't know whether
he says everything was intended to be inside the Torah, but I don't remember you saying that.
He said that everything is hinted at in the Torah.
But he didn't say the Moshe knew everything.
He didn't say whether or not Moshe knew everything. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't resolve, but
this is really an incredible archaim. He says, "Belazet timtza," because he really goes into this. Timtza ba'u atanayim bechibru Torat Kohanim v'sifri v'chol drushatam bechtuvim einam ela al pi halachot v'hilbisham Torah Hashem tamim ashuvichtav. This is the point of all midrashim. He's claiming. The truth is that Chazal, most of the things that they knew from tradition. They already knew the halacha. They already knew it. What they were doing with Midrashim was taking the things that they already knew from tradition and trying to find their hint in the Torah. Right? And this is why, I mean, I don't want to go, I don't think I'm being disrespectful. That's why sometimes you put a drasha and you feel like it's a little dachuk. You feel like, you know, it's a little bit flimsy. But according to the Or HaChaim, the fact that it's flimsy is irrelevant because the fact, the information, is independent of the drasha.
It's potentially, as this, if the information is correct, if the information is MS, the drasha might be still be incorrect with the information. You still have to make assumptions. You still have to have trust that the information is correct.
As long as it was known through tradition, then it was legitimate to go and look in the pasuk and say, "Oh, now I can say what that
but
means."
If you poke holes in it at the end of the day, if the tradition was such, it doesn't make a difference.
Right. Okay. Now he says, and this is what it means. What the whole Gemara means of the Rabbi Akiva. It says Rabbi Akiva, drashot shalo yida Moshe. Moshe was sitting there in the class, and he was saying, oh, this means this, and that means that, and this tag, this little crown on the letter means this, and this extra word means that. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, where is he getting this from? And then we said halacha Moshe Misina. He ultimately said, oh, the tradition itself comes from me, but how you get to this conclusion from the pasuk, I don't know, and I never was going to know, Moshe says. That's how the Or HaChaim reads the Gemara. And it's going back, this is what the Or HaChaim says what happened with Hillel. Hillel comes forward and he says, this is what the Pasuk means, right? But nobody listens to him. Because they say, how do you know that's what the Pasuk means? Until Hillel comes and says, no, the Halacha is like that. I know the Halacha is like that because I have a tradition. That the Halacha is that even if a Kohen claims that something is Tameh or Tahor, if it turns out that he's wrong, then he's wrong.
What about all the other people who ended up being asked to start?
So they didn't have that tradition.
So he's coming from Balgal, yeah, where he isn't practicing Torah. They were in Eretz Yisrael. You know what I'm saying? It seems historically not that likely that they would only have the correct tradition in Balgal. have it.
No, it's a fair question, but it's not.
Like, you know, Shammai wouldn't have it.
Shammai, it wasn't like Hillel was in Babel and Shammai was. Hillel, I'm not sure at what point he was in Babel. I remember there's a whole story of him coming to Eretz Yisrael. He went back and forth. I can't remember exactly.
Like, it seems like a tradition. I mean, his tradition would have come from his.
Okay, it's an interesting side point. I wouldn't focus on it too much. Because the Gemara says that. The Gemara, the Midrash says that he comes from Eretz Yisrael with a tradition.
So I'm trying to bubble up now to the argument that it's when we have oral Torah, the unique aspect that we have to find is where it is in the written Torah.
That's what the Or Chaim is claiming. He's saying everything that ever, the information, the facts, they were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Our job is simply to explain God's Torah and find where it's hinted at in there. You know, I guess at the same time, it's a narrow view, but at least it's very focused. It gives you kind of a clear path. You know, what we're supposed to be doing when we learn Torah. Or at least it's a derech, right?
But isn't that just linking the oral tradition to the written tradition?
Yeah. I mean, it's understanding that the truth is, I claim, like Rav Hirsch, the oral tradition is grander and primary, in fact. And that the Torah Shebichtav is
the primary?
We didn't, you know, it's hard to say.
In our last discussion, we said that they were not, one was a derivative of the other. We didn't come to that conclusion.
We quoted Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch said that the entirety of Torah is Torah Shebaal Peh. There is a primal Torah, and Torah Shebichtav is merely the tamtit, it's the notes from the grand shiur that was given at Har Sinai. So there's much more, and the Torah Shebichtav is just a tamtit, and we have to realize that it's much bigger than that. I think it's very similar to what the Or Chaim is saying.
So the Or Chaim doesn't take it as, he seems to be like there are two bodies, as in like, he does seem to say that one is primal or one is over the other. It's just, the fact is that I would say the opposite. It seems to be that Torah Shebichtav is the main one, because everything is learned from that.
But that's not totally true.
All the Torah Shebaal Peh,
for example, there are things that are not learned from that. You have things that are not written in the Torah. Heter Nedarim.
But then you have to say as in, but according to the way of time, saying, no, it really is that.
You have to look for it.
You have to look for it. We don't.
You're
know.
Saying because ultimately it's in there, so it's, therefore it's primary.
That's what it is.
Okay. So then they're just on two different planes.
Like as Jake asked before, like what's the nafkamina?
I think for the Rachaim, the major nafkamina is what is our endeavor when we're learning Torah, which is, for me, it was eye opening. I never would have thought of this. That like the main, what's open for us is, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we also learn Torah because we need to know what to do and we need to know what's already known. But there is information that apparently has not yet been revealed, and we can do that when we learn Torah.
When you say the Torah, are you talking about the 25th from Shifra?
At least, yeah.
At least.
Navim Ketuvim. But mostly Torah, mostly Chamisha Chamisha Torah.
And so all the, that is going to be the bodies. That our goal is to link everything to find it within those at one.
Within Tanakh. Yeah.
You're saying the Tanakh.
That's what the Or Chaim says.
He says Tanakh? Tanakh extensive?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking the Gemara, right, has drashot on Sukkim and Nevim and Ketuvim. So.
Yeah, but I mean,
look, if you wanted to go hyper on this, right, and you would say that Nevim and Ketuvim must be hinted at in Torah as well, but. You know, that's already another level. But I think what I wanted to focus on for just a second is how different this is from the Maariv Chiyot. Because the Maariv Chiyot said, no, okay. Moshe Rabbeinu just knew the Klalim. He didn't know the Joshua. I guess in a way it's not too different. Their solution to the Gemara is the same.
He didn't necessarily know all the truth.
Right.
He didn't necessarily know all of
that. Right, yeah. The difference is that the Maariv Chiyot doesn't require Moshe Rabbeinu knowing the details of the halachot. He just knows the rules for how to get to them. Yeah. Those are very different ways of reading it.
Well, so I guess the difference, because if you hold basically, like there is like a level, I mean, in halacha, if something is halacha Moshe Sinai, is on a higher level than if it's just a standard rabbinical derivative, like which came out after this. Basically,
the Orach Chaim is saying there's no such thing.
What this does basically, it elevates all halacha to be on the level, unless it's explicitly darabono. All derived halacha, which was constituted, it has the same level of Moshe Sinai.
Yeah, so that would be a big difference in the Maariv Chiyut, which goes back to our original discussion. Big difference in the Maariv Chiyut and the Orach Chaim is that, according to the Orach Chaim, every time you see a drasha in the Gemara, they say, okay, this means that. No matter how dachuk it is, it doesn't matter because the drasha is not the point. The halacha, they already knew. So the halacha was totally midaraita. The fact that they linked it to a pasuk is, from a halachic perspective, almost irrelevant. Whereas, according to the Maariv Chiyut, when they come up with the drasha, they came up with it on the spot. They said, we're gleaning from the Torah Shebichtav that this is the halacha. Right? They didn't know it beforehand. It could be that they knew it from tradition. It could be that they didn't know it from tradition. They're saying, based on the laws that we have, we are kivyachol inventing, or at the very least discovering, halacha that we are just now coming to know existed. Mm-hmm. And there, you could say that would have different status. I don't know, different status, but we would approach it differently than something that was for sure in tradition. Arguably. Now the Maharal has a similar approach to these two, but I have a nice way of I have a nice mashal that I want to share with you. It's very appropriate in the wake of the Michael Jordan documentary that came out recently. So I'll take you through it. So the Maharal says, so the Maharal says, what's the difference? He wants to focus on what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbein. So he says, these tagin, these crowns, the dakot asagatan ruchokin min adam shuba alam azam orgash, shein bo dakot asichli. These tagin, these crowns that Rabbi Akiva is focused on, he's darshaning them, they're very specific. They're very prati. Rabbi Shehem prati me yotim min atara, o Moshe Rabbein olav ha-shalom asagato haya b'chalut atara, Adam Klali Prati, Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a general person, and Rabbi Akiva was a particular person. Now, this concept that the Maharal is presenting, I don't fully understand it, what it means to be a Klali person and a Prati person. I have a mashal, but let's see if it bears out. So he says Moshe's understanding of Torah was Klali, it was general, encompassing, and Rabbi Akiva's was more Prati. Kinevdalim, let me just find more important parts. Here he gets, even though Moshe understood he actually understood what the halachot were that were going to come from the tagin, he was not as connected to the tagin, which you would use to understand the Torah, as he was to the Torah itself. I'm going to just go to the analogy instead. And I can't say that the Maharal, I'm taking license. I don't know whether the Maharal would agree with my analogy, but after watching the documentary, here's how I feel about what the Maharal is saying. Michael Jordan doesn't strike me as a, intellectual genius, as a person who, who's a brilliant at math or even at science or anything like that, or even brilliant at the tactics and understanding of the science of basketball. Doesn't strike me that way. That wasn't the impression that I got from the documentary. I didn't see him reading any textbooks or writing any textbooks or rewriting any plays. He didn't seem like the kind of person that focused so much on film. You didn't see him that much looking at film like you see with other players. We don't see him coaching the game of basketball. So I don't know whether that means anything, but it seems like, he's no Phil Jackson. He's not even a Steve Kerr, right? But he was by far one of the best basketball players you've ever seen. Now, how does that work out? It seems to me like when playing the game of basketball, he simply knew what to do in every situation You say by instinct. He so just
was trained to instinct as you watch the thing.
Through training, through instinct, for sure he, you know, he trained and he practiced and everything, but he simply understood the game of basketball. He just understood what to do in all situations. He was effectively basketball. He was basketball. He didn't understand it. He just was. But you look at the coach. A coach studies the game. He understands and he can recall games and he can tell you why you should do something in a certain situation. And he could tell you why this player works better than that player. And he could tell you why these players should be together on the same team. And Michael Jordan can't do that. He just can't. And I think in a way, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Michael Jordan of Torah. He understands Torah. He can tell you what to do in every situation, even if he can't tell you how he knows and why he knows. But Rabbi Akiva has to work much harder because Rabbi Akiva is not basketball. Rabbi Akiva needs to study it. He needs to know what's going on. He needs to explain everything. He needs to look at the entire corpus and say, I will not know what to do until I understand every aspect of this body of knowledge. He's not like Moshe Rabbeinu. He just can't. So he needs to know what all the tagim mean. You ask Moshe Rabbeinu a shayla, he can just tell you because he knows. He just knows. You ask him, he says, I have to go look it up. What is that sound?
That was a swish from the center line.
Okay. That's a bad shot, but okay. Fine.
Yeah. That's good, Moshe. You should send it into the producers.
Oh, no. Producers of what? Oh, to the producers of
I didn't prepare for this year. I didn't watch the documentary.
I was a bit worried, to be honest, when you started saying Michael Jordan and Moshe Rabbeinu. But the analogy is awesome. The analogy is awesome.
The Maharal, what his idea is that Moshe is a klali person, and Rabbi Akiva is a prati person. He goes into the nitty gritty, and Moshe doesn't understand the things that Rabbi Akiva understands, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't understand the things that Moshe understands. You know what? I could have given you a better source. The truth is that after Shavuos, I realized that there was a better source. I can look for it now if you want. But I don't know if I'll be able to find it. You guys all saw the movie Good Will Hunting? Did everybody see a long time ago? You probably saw
Good Will Hunting, right?
So there's a scene, Good Will Hunting, the plot of the movie is that Matt Damon plays this crazy genius. Like the smartest, frankly, from the movie, the smartest man on the planet mathematically, his memory and everything. He's just the smartest person on the planet. And he falls in love with this girl, played by Minnie Driver. And there's a scene where Minnie Driver just says, I don't understand how you know everything you know. How are you able to do this? And Minnie Driver, by the way, on the side, you know, they're both in, she's in university. She's in university in Juilliard, I think. She's learning music. She's playing the piano. And Will Hunting, the person played by Matt Damon, this amazing line. He says, I open up a math textbook. I open up a history textbook. I just know what to do. I just look at the math and I know what to do. I can't explain to you how I know it. It just seems obvious. It seems easy to me. But you know what? I can't play two keys on a piano. I look at it and I don't understand anything about it. But you sit down at the piano and you just know what to do. Now, of course, I'm sure you studied, but you have talent. You know what to do. I have talent at math, at memorization, at understanding things. I just look at it and I can play. But I can't play a lick of piano. And I just think that that's also a perfect analogy for what's going on over here. You can look at people, they don't understand how they know the things they know. There are people in Ra'anana who I've had discussions with who are, you know, on a different level. And I asked them, you know, how do you do this so quickly? Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't know how to explain it to you. I don't know how you don't do it so quickly. Right? They just can. Okay. Anyways, Adkan. Now, what did I want to get from the Maharal? So that's how the Maharal understands the Gemara with Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu. And arguably, the Maharal would be in the camp of the Or HaChaim that Moshe Rabbeinu knows everything and that he doesn't need the Drashot to understand. The Dor Revi'i. Okay, so I have here what I do want to do tonight. We'll probably stop after the Dor Revi'i and the Chazon Ish. The Dor Revi'i, Dad, it's actually the, you know why he's called the Dor Revi'i? He's the fourth generation of the Chatam Sofer. I forget his first name, but his last name is Sofer. And Rav Shachter always loves to quote the Dor Revi'i. He really loves the Sefer. And he quotes the Hakdama over here. In the introduction over here, he is quoting a pasuk in Bereshit that when God created the world, he created the world in 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. But it says, La'asot. What's the pasuk? No, before that.
before that.
Vayavai Boker Yom Shishi. No. Lasot, right?
Asher Barai Elokim Lasot.
Yafe. Asher Barai Elokim Lasot, right? All the things that Hashem created, Lasot. So what does that word Lasot mean? It's kind of tacked on to the end of the Pasuk. So he quotes the Ibn Ezra, that the understanding of Lasot is Hasher Rashim B'kol Aminim Shnatan Lahem Koach Lasot Kedmotam. That what Hashem did is he put into the world, he imbued into the world all the potential things that are eventually going to come out. In other words, he imbued into the world in that moment everything that would ever happen. All of history that was going to unfold, he already put the Shorashim, the seeds for that, into the world at that moment.
And according to Rabbi Sachs, the word Lasot indicates that there may have been a source for evolution. It was created, but then the world evolved. Lasot. Okay.
Fair, and certainly in line with Ibn Ezra. Rashi and the Ramban disagree. They have a different understanding of it, although I think the Ramban actually has a similar understanding in terms of history, but fine. But the Doravi eventually gets back to the Ibn Ezra, and he says, I agree with him in terms of how you're supposed to interpret the world, but a little bit different in terms of what realm we're talking about. And he says, V'li ha'ani, nir l'kayim perish Rav Ibn Ezra, I, the poor one, I want to explain it, avalo kai ala tolada hativit. Not like Rabbi Sachs. It's not talking about evolution. It's not talking about the future of the natural world. Rather, it's talking about man. He actually gave man the ability to develop the world. Every generation, you are mishabech ma'asecha, the ma'asim of Hashem. In every generation, we improve on the works of God. Right? We improve technologically in one way on what Hashem created. Every advance, every progress is an improvement or a praise to what God did. Shadam mashbiach at ma'aseh, Hashem al yidei hamtzaot chadashot. It really means to improve, right? Mashbiach. Mashbiach in halacha, shevach, Shvach is to improve. And we create new things that did not exist beforehand. Says, and I want to attach the end of Torah to the beginning of it. You hear old things, you know them anew. The old Torah that we have in our hands, if you kill yourself over it, you can come up with new things that never were. Hashem showed to Moshe everything that a Talmud was going to come up with, because it was in the koch of the Torah. When we do it, we're mechadesh, we are doing it from the Torah. It's just new things that nobody ever knew before, except for Moshe. Except for Moshe, that's the idea. Ki adam la'amal yulad v'lerot tuv u'v'lismach ba'malo, ze b'mashe mechadesh u'mamtzi devar shetzorchei b'adam agashmiyim. We need to come up with new things. Shemotzi akar mezulal.
Do you see that right there?
What do I see? Oh, yes. Oh, wow. That's like what Sonia saw.
What is that?
Dad, this is what jumped on Sonia the other day. It jumped on Sonia, literally. This might be the same little guy.
But I'm sure there's
it's a bug.
Them
probably have friends.
It's the grasshopper?
Yeah, you can just cook that.
Maybe you should bring it home. Maybe you should bring it home for Sonia.
Oh, it flies. Yeah. Okay. Okay, very nice.
Maybe Sonia wants to have a souvenir.
Yeah, it freaked her out. She just came out of nowhere. And might be right here. Right here. And she threw it off. And I said, Sonia, you were this close to getting superpowers. This close.
Only
was radioactive.
Yeah. I don't understand. I do not understand, Rav Danny, where you have so much time to watch TV.
Okay. I mean, anyway, so what happens? So he says.
It was a misspent youth.
I don't think it was misspent, but all right, that's a different discussion. Some of it
Part
was.
Part of it was, for sure.
Some of it was misspent, that's for sure.
Yes.
So he says, what does he say? Let's find some key lines. So he says, what did he mean when he said the end of Torah is attached to the beginning? He says, what's the last pasuk in the Torah? Remember the last pasuk of the Torah? L'chol ha'yara chazaka, l'chol ha'mara gadol, l'enei kol Yisrael, right? That, those words, l'chol ha'yara chazaka, l'chol ha'mara gadol. Strong hand and the great fearfulness. Shehuni tina tatora kepirish Rashi. What's the, okay, this you have to know. It's a rule that if you study Torah with me, you need to know the first Rashi in Chumash and you need to know the last Rashi in Chumash. I'm sorry. You have to. You have to know it. Okay? So I'm not going to ask you. So I'm just going to tell you. This you should know. The first Rashi in Chumash. First Rashi in Chumash. Why does it start with? Start with the Chodesh of Lachem. He quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, which might be his father. It might be somebody else. Which says that it was so that we should know that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's first Rashi in Chumash. What's the last Rashi in Chumash? You should know because anyways, it's amazing that this is the last Rashi in Chumash. Last Rashi in Chumash is on this Pasuk, L'chol amara gadol, l'yad ha-chazaka, yashar kochacha sheshibarta. That Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he broke the Luchot, yashar kochacha sheshibarta, with your strong hands. That's the last Rashi in Chumash. Shkoyach that you broke the Luchot. It was a good thing that you did. That's the last Rashi in Chumash. So what's he getting out of that? He says, Shehuni tina tatara, kiperish Rashi, asher asa Moshe leini kol Yisrael, return lomar, asher asa Moshe bechtav, kedei she'eni ha'ed ha'im ha'amelim ha'torah, ya'aynu ba'tamid, v'yidirshu ba'al pi ha'midot shenimsu lahem, hu mamash k'moshe bereshit b'ra'a l'okim et ha'shamayim et ha'aretz, shebra'am u'misaram la'adam la'asot, l'shachlalam u'l'hashbicham medor vedor, kein ha'torah asher asa Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael, nimsar lahem l'hashbicham. Okay, so he's focusing on the fact that, you know, shkoyach that you gave them the Torah. He's not focusing on the breaking part, I think. Where is it? Okay, the point being over here, according to Doravi, that when we come up with Chidushim, we are really coming up with Chidushim. That when we come up with something new, it's something that Moshe did, at least Moshe did not pass down. It could be that Moshe learned it at Sinai, that Hashem showed it to him, you know, in some kind of mystical vision of the future. But it was not passed down through tradition. And when we learn it, we're coming up with new things. It's progress in Torah. The same way that we invent new things in the world, we can invent in Torah. Now, if you had to guess, and I said to you, Rav Yaakov Yisroel Kanievsky, the Chazon Ish, would he agree with this idea? Would the Chazon Ish like this idea or not? The Chazon Ish, the father, you know, of modern Haredi Torah. Does this seem like it's up his alley? I would have said no. But he, while he may not say this exact idea, he says something very similar. This is in the Per Hador, which is letters, or actually stories, kind of like a biography, a little bit. It says, one time, I'll say it outside, one time the Chazon Ish was asked the following question. He was asked, how do we understand Rashi in Sefer Kohelet? Kind of out of nowhere. Rashi in Sefer Kohelet, it says, Ein kol chadash tachat hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. And Rashi says, shekol hachochmot v'madim chosfim rak et ma sheyesh b'toch habriya misheshet v'bereishit. That everything in science and wisdom and knowledge is simply expressing things that were already there during sheshet v'bereishit. We don't invent new science, right? We just reveal new science. But when you learn Torah, you find new things. Like we find, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said things that nobody had ever heard of before. So he said, the questioner says, I thought the opposite. I thought it's true that in Madai and science you find new things. But in Torah, you don't find new things. How could it be that there are new things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not get at Sinai? That's what it seems to be saying. How could it be? They asked Chazon Ish. Our question, right? How could there be new things in Torah? What do you think the Chazon Ish said? You know, we'd expect him to come up with like the Archaim, right? Or at the very least, the Maariz Chiyut, right? What does he say? He says something very interesting. He says as follows. I'll read the whole thing inside, then we'll talk about it. Kol chukei ha-teva. Kayamim ba'olam miyom shenivra. Ve'ein livnei adam kiim legalotam. So far, so good. all of the natural laws we just revealed. There's no new. Aval, HaTorah mechila et machshavotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Torah? It's the thoughts of God. Shehu lemala min habria, which are things that are beyond the world. And I think when he says bria, he could even mean, you know, in the Hishtashlut HaOlamot, in the Kabbalah, you have abia, atzilut, bria, yitzira, and asiya. You have four different kind of quasi-dimensions. And bria is pretty high up. He says, lemala min habria, it's even above creation. V'chol biur baktuvim shadayin lo nitgala, ter megia lebechinat bria. Ela hametziut shelo hi bedat elyon. Rak acharei she'achad mimnei adam zocheh u'mechaven ledat noten haTorah beferush kolshu, rak echel meoto rega mitlabesh gam achidush hazeh bemetziut haolam hanivra, lezot yikarei b'shem achidush. What do you mean? Did you guys get any of that? What he says is that there's a Torah, right, which exists in, let's call it the Olam Hatzilut, or even above. So Machloket, apparently. I was just reading Rabbi Lam's book on Torah Lishma. Rabbi Lam Zatzal, he wrote a book, an amazing book on Torah Lishma, and getting into Kabbalistic ideas about how to understand Torah. There's a Machloket amongst the Kabbalists, whether or not there is Torah above Hatzilut, or whether it starts at Hatzilut. But we're not going to get into it right now, although it would help for our discussion. There is a Torah that is outside of our world. And then there's the Torah that exists in our world. The Torah that exists in our world is, you know, encapsulated in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, in Shas, in every single book that has already been written. That's all Torah that's already in our world. But guess what? There's more than that. And there's more than that, and it hasn't been expressed into our world at all. It doesn't exist, so to speak, in our world, which means it doesn't exist.
So they tell the stories about like one about different gadolim basically coming up with the same kiddush.
Right, and then once it was brought in, yes.
Sort of like a Baruch Hu.
No, it's Shulchan Aruch. It's Rav Yosef Karo. I know exactly what story you're thinking of. There's a story worth telling.
Maybe
there's a story worth telling. It's been told for many, many years that one time Rav Yosef Karo was learning a sugya, and he was learning hard, and he had a question. He didn't understand what was going on, and he spent 2 days on it until finally he came up with a big chiddush that explained everything, and he was so happy, and he went to sleep happy. Mm-hmm. Next morning, he woke up and he was going to shul. And on the way, he heard, you know, two guys who were learning a little bit before they were going to work, and they were learning the exact same sugya. And he said, "Oh, I'm going to listen in and see, you know, do they even know about the problem?" They come up with the exact same problem that he came up with, and within 2 minutes, they come up with the same answer that he came up with. And he was upset. Mm-hmm. He was really upset, and the entire day was ruined for him. And that night, he went to sleep and he had a dream, and you know, he was bothered. And a malach came to him in the dream and said, "What are you bothered by?" He said, "How could these two schleppers come up with the same thing? I'm Rav Yosef Karo. How could it be?" And the malach explained, he said, "No, you don't understand. Until you brought that chiddush into the world, it didn't exist. But once you brought it into the world, anybody could access it. You had to bring it in." So the Chazon Ish is saying, this is an amazing idea. He says, science doesn't work like this. Science, everything that was in the Bria is already in the Bria. We just have to reveal it. Torah is not like that. When you come up with something, when Or HaChaim has 42 different pirushim, okay? I don't know about all 42 of them, but at least some of them had never been said before. And the moment he did that, he brought them into existence, literally, in this world. They were in another world. They were in Shamayim, not a Shamayim. They were in God's world, and he brought them in.
So this is different. Rather than saying we're just revealing what existed, We are brought a new dimension.
Yeah, you have drawn it into the world.
It does exist. It existed in high world, but it doesn't exist in this world.
Right.
So it seems like it's vertical, whereas before we were
three dimensional.
Yeah, because everything was here. Everything was here. The Chazon Ish has this idea that, you know, that there's more that Hashem simply has not expressed into the world.
So what does that mean about what was given to Moshe? That it wasn't
completely... It's a great question. I'm not sure which side of the fence the Chazon Ish is on, because it sounds like he's saying that there were things that were not revealed even to Moshe, but that was okay because they didn't exist.
Moses was on multiple levels.
Or that Moshe did know some things and he himself didn't express them. I honestly don't know. And what does it mean for halacha?
Actually,
is also
it's
a good question.
Interesting. It's more exciting. That Chazanish view is much more exciting.
Then
the other view, the Orachaim.
Then the Orachaim.
That's a very limited set of activities.
Right.
That's accounting. Find exactly which box this goes into and pull
right.
it out.
Right. I really like your division over there between the Orachaim and the Chazanish. I think there's a very good division there. The Orachaim is saying, we already know everything. Well, we don't because we forgot. Right? Well, let's keep that in mind. We've forgotten a lot of things. But in theory, we already know everything. We had all the facts. At some point, we had all the facts. And we just need to inject, our job is to inject it into the Torah Shebichtav. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Chazanish says, no, there's more. There's more stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Not out there, but out there. Mm-hmm. And we need to bring it down, which is amazing. Right? Next time, we'll talk about whether or not it's possible to be wrong and whether or not it matters. All right? Shkayach, everybody.
By the way, I looked up Dor Revi'i, and his name was Rav Moshe Shmuel Glasner, and he was the great grandson of the Chatam Sofer.
There you go. All right. Shkoyach.
Oh.
Good night.